Oh, all right. So it doesn't taste good. It's got that kind of, I don't even know, like just dark, kind of nutty flavor, sort of fluffy. Feel like you're almost drinking milk a little bit. Roasted and robust, which is just kind of sits on your mouth and turns into something a little crispier. I'm choking on it.
Drew, please edit this up so you get the generous body sits on your mouth back to back.
Nutty taste.
Wow. Yeah. Season 3 of the Brews and Bruins podcast. My name is Cam Hasbrook. We've got Chris Gear, the bullpen here, and also my guy, Dube, who was our post-live correspondent from the Garden tonight. He was there for the last-minute walk-off, I'll call it, game winner from Charlie McAvoy. And a few things happening before that, too, that we will certainly get to tonight. But first, we're going to talk about a little bit of beer and drinks in general, because I know at least one of us doesn't have beer, and I also don't. I guess I do, but not. I have low expectations for my beer. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, Lancey, let's start with you. Lancey's surprised, and he seems prepared with a beer. What you got, Lancey?
Yeah, for once, I have a surplus. This is, see if I get it right now, because it's something I grabbed from the fridge. Medusa's Brewing's Ruction West Coast Style IPA. It's 6.6% for those of you that are concerned with percentages. And I've never had it before, so let's try it live.
That was Ruction with
shouts
an
to
R.
The Ruction line.
Is that a thing? Oh, for some reason, apparently. I imagine Ruction line like the Mason-Dixon line or something like that, like a line geographically.
And in history class related news, I would give this a 37 out of 37, but that should surprise none of you if you've been around here for long, because all beer tastes like beer to me.
I might beg to differ because I have a beer that I don't think tastes like beer tonight. I haven't tried it yet, but I have a lot of expectations.
I'll say that with one exception, because that's always, you know, a thing with rules. There was a sour that I had that I just could not finish because it did not taste like a beer.
Was
but
it
anyway.
White pumpkin ale by any chance?
No, it was not one notorious. Of those. There's still one can in the fridge because my brother forgot to have it at Christmas, calling out my brother on the pod. Anyway.
What's Cam doing?
I'm just checking out my beer bottle. I'm trying to soak in the disgustingness of it. So
all I know is we have resident Detroit Red Wings fan here, Chris Gear.
No, I'm not a Detroit Red Wings fan. They are my team.
They're his team. It's different. I'm all right, yeah. So I've got a Sam Adams Holiday Porter, which is described as, quote, roasted and robust, which is kind of how I like my sunflower seeds, but usually not my beer. It is described as chestnut colored malts roasting on an open fire, malt and flaked oats, and generous body and rich flavor for a round, dark, and satisfying ale that caps any winter night. I smelled this and it smells gross. It's been sitting in my fridge for approximately 3 months because I've been too scared to drink it. So I figured if there's any time to do it, let's at least get some content out of it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Love you, Cam. Thank you for the content.
Ooh, all right. So it kind of tastes like a Guinness, except for it doesn't taste good.
Except it's not a Guinness.
So it's just heavy.
It's very heavy. It's got that kind of, I don't even know, like just dark, kind of nutty flavor to it that you kind of get with the Guinness, but the Guinness is also like sort of fluffy, so it kind of supplements that. You feel like you're almost drinking milk a little bit, and this is still very thin, so that taste just kind of sits on your mouth and turns into something a little crispier. Drinkability.
Drew, please edit this up so you get the generous body sits on your mouth back to back.
Nutty taste. That's
wow. Yes, honestly.
This is great. Butter.
I'm trying
generous
to
body, exactly nutty, sits on your mouth.
Good Lord. All right. Well, that just knocked down the drinkability even more. I think it's about a 4 for drinkability. Taste. You can definitely taste it. It's probably a 36 for taste, but as far as quality of taste, it would be quite low. I'm not a huge fan. Luckily, I also have a whiskey sour here to wash it down. Oh. So that's what we're going to go down with. So cheers to that one. Drinkability. As I'm choking on it, I was going to give it a 37, but I guess I got to knock it down to like a 34 right now.
All of this is being edited together into one sentence. You know that,
Cam. Good luck.
And aside, when do we think he'll throw up?
The pod is going to be, it's just going to be Cam saying like that all edited down into one sentence, and then that's done.
Let's just toss it right to Drew to add to the whatever the fuck this is. Drew, what you got? He's got Poland Spring.
Poland Spring, but I will... I tossed a review out there for Truth IPA from Rheingeist, I think it was, brewery.
Which
is out of Ohio. Because, you know, actually, there is a large German population in Ohio, in the Midwest in general. But that was a really good beer. I rated it, I think, a 28 in something. But my dad rated it Drinkability of Fred Stanstein or Stanfield, Fred Stanfield, and an Andy Moog on Drinkability, which I just put out there without, he was probably like, you should put like the numbers in parentheses. I was like, no, I'm going to let this for the real Bruins fans out there.
Apparently not true.
Which he told me the numbers, which is why I knew Andy Moog, but I had no idea Fran Stanfield was a person, let alone a Bruins player. So he's a number 17, but that was a really good beer. I had an Elysian as my first beer at the Garden. I had a Corona, and then another beer that I bought for the third period that before finishing that Corona. So there was a lot there, but all good. A great game to have a beer at, which is probably any Bruins game, but that's what I'll say for my drink rating.
Well, you also texted us and you got, it sounds like the best urinal in the Garden as well.
Oh, yeah. So that's a weird thing. So my dad and I were talking about that in line for the men's room that, like, oh, they have cup holders now. I was like, really? That's cool. Because usually, you know, you got to put your beer on top of the urinal. And that's how you hold your beer there. But no, the only cup stand was at the, like, kids' urinal. It's just fine. Like, maybe the premise is that kids will, like, spill their drink if they put it on the urinal. But, like, that just seems, like, odd to me. But you know what? You know, piss at the kid's urinal. That's what I'm telling you. That's just my advice in general. If they have,
you can definitely add something in there too. So it's gonna be quite the edit.
That's a bleep.
Chris, you look disgusted. What you got tonight?
I'm not letting my beer touch a urinal.
Yeah, close. I was gonna say, I don't know. Standard protocol.
That's why you piss at the kid's urinal. That's why, because it has its own cup holder aside from the urinal.
No,
I either leave my beer with somebody trusted at my seat, or I just like hold on to it with my teeth.
Oh, you're a one-handed pisser. I get it.
I've got a LaCroix lime sparkling water, La Croix for the Quebecois.
Quebec.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't have any brand loyalty when it comes to seltzers. I think they all pretty much taste the same.
Did that hard seltzer get hired by the Montreal Canadiens as GM this week, or they go with someone that's not French Canadian? See what I did there. Anyway,
yeah, I see what you did. All right, moving on.
I didn't because I'm seeing double, but
I have a truly strawberry hibiscus margarita style, and this is the best truly flavor out there.
Right on.
Truly, yeah. It's the best.
Not sponsored, but if they would like to send another case of these, I'd appreciate it. 37s all around.
Let it be noted that if Truly ever decided to sponsor us, that they need to ship everything to Jess.
Please.
Boston Please. Company.
Yeah.
All right, so hockey time. Let's start out with the scarier things, and then we'll finish on a higher note. Bruins obviously getting the win tonight, but the long-term concern is over the health of Brad Marchand, who was running the boards from behind from, I believe, Maine native Garnet Hathaway. I don't know. I've watched it a lot of times. It looked pretty dirty. Martian did his best to try to stay out there. He came out for the power play, ended up yanking himself. I don't know if you guys saw the video going around Twitter, but on the McAvoy game winner, he went up to try, I think it was that one, but he tried to celebrate the goal, and he like clearly could not lift his arm above like shoulder level. He tried to, and he immediately whipped it down and looked like he was in some pain.
The video of Marchand yanking himself?
Yes, the video of Marchand yanking himself.
This is all being edited together. I can't wait.
It's going to be a real gross 5-minute episode.
That'll just be the cold open.
Really gross 5-minute cold open.
Yeah.
Wonderful. As Chris kind of commented on last time, the classic sports take thing where you go, I don't want to speculate on injuries, but we're going to speculate on injuries anyway. I know Chris definitely will agree with me. I think everybody else probably will. But if there's a handful of players that the Bruins absolutely cannot afford to lose for an extended period of time, Brad Marchand is one or two on that list. I think it's probably him and McAvoy. I think I tweeted out are the two that you absolutely can't afford to lose. Again, I don't want to speculate too much here. Who knows? It could just be got his, you know, shit rung up a little bit. It looked like it was maybe collarbone or something, but of course, I mean, it was an upper body injury, of course, as we all know, but if he's out for an extended period of time, that could be a serious issue for this Bruins team.
So I disagree for one reason and one reason only, because unless he's out for like a really extended period of time, Bruins are pretty much just in the playoffs. I would prefer not to be missing Brad Marchand for a long period of time, because, you know, things can happen and you can lose a bunch of games in a row. But I'd prefer this happen now than right before the playoffs.
Sure, but I mean, it's not like one or the other thing. Of course,
he's your most important offensive player. I don't know entirely what happens to that second line if Taylor Hall is playing on the top line. I don't know if Pasta comes back up to the top line and Smith goes back down to the second line, or if Coyle comes back up to the second line. You got to figure a whole bunch out now. But yeah, not ideal. Maybe you put Jake DeBrusk, who's been playing pretty well since he demanded a trade, up on that top line, and
he gets
the opportunity that he's been asking for.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I will say the Bruins again very much should be in the playoffs. There's a pretty clear gap between where they are and who's outside the picture at this point, but they're also only 3 points back at Toronto right now, which I know grabbing third in the division isn't terribly important, but getting that extra seating for potential home ice at some point, you know, you're probably not going to get much from the third divisional spot, but it's at least a, you know, you're not coming in as the bottom wildcard team, which is where they are right now, would be good. So that obviously a push to do that hurts a little bit or a lot if you're losing Marchand for an extended period of time. But it's not like Marchand gets injured and that's like, oh fuck, the Bruins are done this season. They're not making the playoffs. I think they should be pretty safely in, knock on wood, regardless of that.
I will say, just based on the Marchie stuff, being at the game, they announced the penalty, what seemed like it would be during commercial break, because the ice crew was out there with their oversized shovels and everything. Really oversized shovels. Holy shit, those shovels. I'll add that into the cam.
Case Sterling Archer.
But it was like an interference call rather than a boarding call or hit from behind or whatever. And I'm not sure what the ruling is. If I know hitting from behind and boarding is reviewable for becoming a major, but interference sounds like it wasn't. But during that break, the refs was kind of circled and were like talking about it before the ref officially announced that it was interference. So that was
interesting. If I had to imagine, but they could have been debating, you know, is it possibly charging? Because that's virtually, you know, the discretion of the ref themselves, whether or not someone was going in too fast or if they had enough time to really glide and ease into it. But anyway.
But I also don't understand how the ref was standing right there and he wasn't the one to call it. Like,
yeah.
Listen, I have bad days where my glasses, you know, like sometimes I just get distracted or, you know, contact's a little loose in there and I don't always see everything. But come on.
Yeah.
How could you miss that?
You certainly were not the only one who was confused. I think you could, if my lip reading was correct, Marshan gave him a "how the fuck did you not call that" skating by on the way out on the tight shot. But yeah, that's some frustrating shit. I've never played in the NHL or anything like that, but I've had that to me. Well, probably this is even a better justifier here, but playing low-level college hockey, we had some pretty shitty refs from time to time. And there is nothing more frustrating than when you get run from behind and there's a guy standing 3 feet away who doesn't call it.
Danger. That level of hockey doesn't even get more than one official and one linesman, right? Or do they?
No, we would get several for...
Really? You'd get two officials and two linesmen?
For Asha, we'd get at least, usually three or four.
Really? I feel for a lot of leagues like that, I think even NCAA Division One, they get one official and two.
No, you get two officials for
really.
Yeah.
Drew showing his ass here.
I'm watching. I was watching some ECHL Maine Mariners. I think they get one official.
The Brews and Bruins podcast is sponsored by DraftKings. We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get 280 in free bets if your team wins. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on all the action and feel the sweat of the divisional round. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win 280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I think the most surprising thing about the ref not calling that hit was that the tempers were already kind of flaring. And in a game like that, usually you see a play like that pretty immediately flagged.
Yeah.
I believe the term is game management.
Yeah, because they're trying to keep things quiet. I'm pretty surprised that things stayed pretty chill for the most part, considering the Tom Wilson hit was a clean hit, but excessive in terms of just the total energy imparted.
So the fun fact there is it could have been interference, given that Bleed didn't have the puck. Now, you might say, but he only just lost it a second before, so it's not really interference. That's the only part where if anyone wants to say, it was borderline bad, maybe interference. But otherwise, it was clean. It was a rare event in the history of the universe. Tom Wilson made a good, hard, clean hit.
That's the unfortunate best result. And the cleanest hit he has and will ever make in his career. And what I didn't like was on the broadcast, I don't know who was calling the game tonight, but it was the woman, and she kept saying, Bleed, he had his head down, and, you really got to keep your head up. That's not an excuse. And it doesn't make the hit any, less painful for him. His head was down. That's what you do when you play a sport. You got to keep your eye on the puck.
Yeah, that was AJ Molesko. I think she had a tough game, and I think Brian Boucher also had a tough game. I think AJ Molesko is a lot better in the booth than she is between the benches, and I think Brian Boucher is a lot better between the benches than he is in the booth. So I think they really fucked that up.
I will say, I have a little bit of an objection there. Maybe this is just my inner defenseman talking, but that was a perfectly clean hit, and I kind of agree with AJ on that one. You can't be cut into the middle like that with your head down. And I'm not saying it's safe or anything. That's the sport of hockey. But I remember that's the thing that Anders Bjork kept nailed for, is that he would, had so much skill on the outside, but then he'd cut to the middle and he'd leave himself exposed and he'd get drilled. And that's what led to those shoulder injuries. But I don't know. I mean, like, if I'm a defenseman and a guy cuts into the middle like that with his head down, like, I'm looking to put my shoulder in his crest to, like, and, you know, I know Drew jumped in on the fuck Tom Wilson chance, and I'm all aboard that train. He's usually pretty big piece of shit on the ice, but I have no problem with that hit. It sucks that, you know, Bleed's hurt. I hope he's all right. I'm a fan of him, obviously, but I don't know. I don't want to say I sympathize with it because that's definitely the wrong word, but I got no issues with it for sure. I will say, I think the best tweet I saw tonight was from Jeff Israel saying, Tom Wilson looks off his game. He totally missed Bleed's head right there, which was one of the best tweets I've read in a long time.
That's fucking hilarious.
We gotta get Jeff on. Yeah. We've been talking about Jeff it for a while, but we have not reached out.
Well,
the number of times I've just tweeted like Jeff in general, and then he'll like my tweet out of nowhere. He doesn't follow me. One of these days I might wake up to that. But like, I'll just tweet like, shout out to all Jeffs in the world, and Jeff liked your tweet. Hey, it's Jeff. I did the thing.
From being there, the hit happened so quick that a lot of people just assume they saw Bleed on the ice face down, like holding his head, and Tom Wilson having thrown the hit. Everyone's assumption was, oh, that was dirty. Absolutely, yeah. That was dirty. And that was my assumption too. They didn't show the replay at the Garden, which I concluded
was... They didn't show it on the broadcast either.
They didn't?
Really?
They did later on.
They went to commercial immediately and then came back and showed it a bunch.
Okay, but like... because my opinion is that at the Garden, they don't show the replay if it goes against the grain of what the crowd thinks happened.
don't want to incite anything.
It's like, you know when you're watching baseball and like a fan runs on the field and they just don't cut away? That's pretty much like kind of the vibe that I was getting.
But I will say I stand by joining in on the fuck Tom Wilson chant because, like, fuck Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
And, like, have made something, like, comments and shit about him that I won't repeat on this podcast that I repeated in front of, like, children in the row behind me. But,
fuck Tom Wilson is basically... a little bit, you know?
There is something I want to... maybe we'll get to it later, but there was some cool stuff with the fans around me that I would like to mention at some point, but we can continue.
We've got 10 minutes, so
we'll just recap quick. Any thoughts on McAvoy getting that's an absolute fucking highlight reel goal is the first thing that I thought.
I love him.
It's like, that's the one you're going to see end of season, like Charlie McAvoy hype video. First of all, got to give some shouts to Jake DeBrusque. Did a great job of creating some space there, creating time. Most of all, that's a scary situation when you're posted up on the sideboards and you've got three defenders staring at your face that are, especially in a game like that, that are ready and eager to take your head off, but showed real veteran patience there, I think, and then an excellent pass up the middle to feed McAvoy in the slot and just an absolute bullet of a shot from Charlie. That's the one that's going to be the first video in the Bruins Chuck Norris hype train this year.
Yeah, before we keep going on that goal, I want to shout out some like really nice passes this game. You had the Grizzly pass to Pasta for the breakaway goal on the power play, and then you had the Taylor Hall kind of give and go with Pasta where he like perfectly led him to get his first goal. Just some dope passes to lead to some goals. We love seeing great primary assists.
Hey, don't forget the secondaries too. We like the secondaries. A little tic-tac-toe action, nothing better.
That we do.
Anybody have any thoughts on Chucky Lightning Lamp? Drew, what was that reaction like at the Garden? I imagine
it was electric. Like it was.
Did it feel like a playoff game?
It at least felt like an OT goal. Like, it felt like it was the game winner, but at the same time, just how the game went, that, like, all right, Washington can score with 45 seconds like after that. Like, it was so, like, until Ullmark had the puck behind the net with 5 seconds left that people were like, okay, Ullmark's got control. While personally, I hated every time he went behind the net to play the puck. I felt confident in that one. Like, all right, he's just going to dump it to a defense.
I felt quite the opposite in that one. When I see a goaltender behind their own net with 5 seconds left, I'm thinking, what the fuck are you doing? Like, the worst thing that does is wrap around.
Yeah.
Chances are your winger defense is first. Come on. And even if they don't, like, you're telling me he has more faith playing it behind the net like that with guys.
He wanted the goalie goal.
Rather than
he wanted the empty netter.
Like, if that snaps around, the best they can do is take a one timer off the boards, like near post. And there's, I mean, I know Omar.
They already scored on one of those.
Yeah, to be fair, that one was a snipe. That first goal, the other one from the slot that went off his glove was not the best. But I don't know. I would have rather had him stay in the crease there. But no harm, no foul.
Yeah. So back to the Chuck goal. What a fucking sick toe drag right before he snapped that.
Beautiful. Fucking beautiful. Every time I watch Charlie McAvoy play, I'm just like, damn, that's the type of hockey player I wish I could be. It's just, he's incredible. He also dumped at somebody earlier in the game, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, I believe it was.
Yep.
Right after the earlier hit on Bleed. So,
these old men log on to Twitter on their Nokia phones and say the Bruins don't have somebody who will like retaliate, I hope all of their replies are just filled with that hit.
Yeah, no, they think they don't have somebody who can retaliate and take a dumb penalty by punching somebody in the mouth.
Right, like, I'm sorry. It was a perfect response from Max. Anymore.
I mean, they have Brad Marchand.
Score 10 goals. Right. It's always my solution.
Like, if you want Milan Lucic's contract, I will happily give it to you.
There were people who were pandering for it earlier in the offseason, I remember.
They saw 17 on the back of the jersey and got excited for a moment.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
and now they're complaining about a guy that and I full credit to Nick Foligno for everything that he's done and the struggle he's gone through this season. I don't think he's as bad as people make him out to be, only because when you start thinking about the way the salary cap works and how a third liner generally makes around $3 million, a good third liner, Foligno's at that age where he's not quite too old to start making less, but he's not quite too young to start making a whole lot more. So at $3.8 million for 2-3 years, however long the contract is, 2 years,
it's two.
It's late. I don't know. That's not breaking the bank to me. If this season works out, great. If it doesn't, you flip him, you do whatever you need to do. That's kind of the thought process with Erik Haula until he started going off on the second line to begin with, because Haula in the last 5 or 6, however long you want to drag it out, really, in his entire career, he's had good year, not so good year, good year, not so good year. He gets traded, good year. The following year, he's a bit quiet. Okay, he gets traded again, starts to rebound, he gets traded one more time, has a great time in Nashville, starts to go quiet. And, you know, we're talking replacement level guys that they are easily, in the word itself, replaceable. I don't think that Foligno is necessarily getting the benefit of the doubt for being a veteran. He's getting the benefit of the doubt because when Foligno and DeBrusk and Coyle play together, they've got some sort of chemistry that elevates DeBrusk's play. Foligno has been the guy to go in on every battle, whether it's worked out or burned him in his own zone. He goes into every battle along the wall, albeit he gets injured easily. That's a problem, yes. But he goes to those areas that people have had a problem with when they watch Jake DeBrusk play. And that's not entirely DeBrusk's game to begin with, but if you want him to be a bit more of a two-way guy that, sure, will chip in where he needs to get the puck, maybe he can learn from Nick Foligno. And if it works out for a game or two, great. If it doesn't work after 3 games, by all means, then you have to start deciding who you scratch and replace Oscar Steen. Because that's just the reality of it. For one game, the regular season, a night like tonight, it makes sense to me. If you get to the playoffs, don't treat it like the David Backes scenario in 2019 when people were like, oh, well, we got to put Backes in because he's a veteran and, you know, he'll know what to do. And he just doesn't because he doesn't have it or anything. For right now, it's to your benefit to try to have a guy that's good in the room, knows how to kind of get out of a bit of a funk, and
you know, ultimately might help elevate DeBrusque's play. And now if Marchand's going to be out for an extended period of time, he'll be on the first line. But just to kind of restart someone who earlier in the year requested a trade, doesn't mean it gets filled, and also everyone has hated for some reason, despite saying nothing bad about the city of Boston, nothing bad about the fans. He just needs either a change of scenery or he needs to just be more consistent and get better. He's not Phil Kessel. He's not saying I'm not going to resign here, and he gets traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can boo a guy when they're not wearing your jersey. That's my take.
Are we booing Torrey Krug?
No, absolutely fucking not.
Okay.
No, I would, but I just have a personal thing with Torrey Krug.
Yeah, I just have a personal vendetta against him.
What? What's that? What's up with
that's
that?
That's for something off air that we can discuss.
Okay.
Oh.
We can discuss that, I guess, then. All right, our final segment tonight. Drew walked into TD Garden and Doob walked out of it. What was that experience like transforming, Drew? You got a couple stories I hear.
All right, so we talked about the fuck Tom Wilson chant, which I will forever stand by. I know that hit was clean, but fuck Tom Wilson. So we'll start on just an overall good note for, well, it was for a period, so good kudos on the dad for snagging the seats right behind us for, when he could. It was a dad just explaining hockey to his son throughout the first period, like, oh, see how he boxed him out there. That penalty was called because it was retaliatory. All that shit just reminded me of being a kid and my dad explaining shit to me. It was just awesome.
In the cradle.
It was just awesome from the perspective of
that was the right time. Happy.
It was just like awesome to hear. But they weren't there for the second or third, so I think they got kicked out of their seats and went to their actual seats. But kudos on the dad for fucking like snagging them seats early. So there were three guys to the left of me this game. So the one on
Jokers
the far left
to the right
on the aisle was a Caps fan wearing an Ovechkin jersey, which if you're going to wear a Caps jersey, sure, Ovechkin, whatever. It wasn't like that Tom Wilson guy while during the fuck Tom Wilson chant. He was fucking flashing his fucking Wilson shirt like a fucking piece of shit. If you own a Tom Wilson jersey, well, I guess most people will say the same about Brad Marchand jersey, so I won't say it. But so he was a Caps fan. Immediately to the left of me, there was three guys. So on the right side of those three guys was a Bruins fan, but he was quiet. He was like very reserved in his Bruins fandom, like just kind of like small comments, like I don't know, that I kind of overheard. I also, during the McAvoy goal, he went to high five me and I went to high five him, but I was a couple beers deep and he was a couple Coca-Colas deep. So I high-fived him basically in the face. Like it was like a whiff.
You assaulted like it was like someone part of his hand
and went into his face.
This is a confession.
And then I patted him on the back and was like, I'm sorry, I just high-fived you in the face. But he understood, McAvoy game winner. And the father, was in the middle of what I assume are these two brothers. And he was very odd. So like the Caps fan, no mask. The Bruins fan that I high-fived in the face, mask the entire time. The father in the middle, mask over his chin the entire time. So it was like a very chin much diaper. Split. And like he was like cheering for the Bruins and knew a lot about the Bruins, but did not stand up during any of their goals scored. So I was like very confused on like the alliance here. Like I feel like one of your sons was just like a kid who like jumped on the like the Caps bandwagon at some point and your other kid was like you raised him correctly. It was just like very odd that like that's your allegiance. Like I will cheer for the Bruins but I will not stand up for them when they score against the Capitals.
That was me when they played the Flames, but they didn't actually score a goal. But whenever they did something good.
Is that
good
a dig? I think that's a dig right there.
No, I think that's more of a credit to Dan Vladar, Bruins legend. Shouts.
But overall, it was a very competitive game. Like, every time the Bruins scored, the Caps scored right back. It was a very good hockey game, whether you're a fan of either team or not a fan of either team. It was a very good hockey game. Very entertaining. And glad the Bruins came out of that, because the entirety of the game, it looked like it could go either way. And even with that 45 seconds left on the clock, it looked like the Caps could have scored to tie it up. So,
what do you mean? They had them all the way. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Be an artist. Yeah. Be an artist. Yeah. I meant to do that.
If it weren't actually one of those goals, if Ullmark didn't try to save it, it would have gone wide, but he did. So it was a goal. So I will say that. Fuck Ullmark. Fuck Rask. Bring wow. Swayman up. Bring whoever the fuck else they have. Kaiser.
Kaiser. And, let's go.
And like, just that's fan, the cup winning team. No, I'm kidding. Ullmark, Rask, good duo. We'll talk about that in more depth, I assume, next week.
All right. I guess we'll talk about that next week.
Oh, no, I think we've talked about it before. But
this concludes another episode of the Brews and Bruins podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Go rate us on Spotify or something, unless you don't like us, and then don't. Or do. It'd be kind of funny, actually. But if you have an actual hate mail, you should probably email it to us, because then we can
at least get content out of it.
Five stars at gmail.com. 5 stars on Spotify for this podcast, for Locked on Flames, and for Down the Frozen River, please, everybody.
Please.
The last one's only so good.
And
4.5.
My show's in crisis mode on the network, so just like... tell everyone.
Tell them about it.
Oh, by the way, Bowlet too. Go.
They're on Instagram too.
Burritos, baby.
And I will add, fuck Tom Wilson.
Are we fucking Anders Bjork this week?